It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 641. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow. And facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow to get your 15-day free trial. Or just go to instanthousecall.com, download it. You're going to love it. Kick the tires, check it out. It's what I exclusively use for all of my remote access. I have a jam-packed show tonight. I want to talk about two stories, a problem I had, how I resolved it, and I would love to know how you would have worked on this. I want to talk about my big Verizon outage that I had last week. That was a big problem. I have a stack of email responding to some of the things I've been asking, and you've come through in flying colors. I'm going to read those. And then I want to take a moment and looking back at some of the things that I thought of with technology that I was involved with for looking back for 2017. And we'll wrap up. That's the show. Let's start with my Verizon outage. Last week, as a matter of fact, we were going to record Tech Vets on Tuesday night, but on Tuesday, the day after Christmas, no internet, no TV, no phone. The first thing I want to do is go downstairs into the basement and reboot the what they call the ONT. And that's the one, looks like a little router inside the Verizon box. I rebooted that, nothing. I'm still getting a red light on my Verizon modem. When I call, I get, it will be an hour and a half before a technician will reach me. That's the first clue that they're having a major problem. And I put into callback. I get a call back from a tech who tells me, and it's about a couple hours later, who informs me there is a major fiber cut in my area. So there are many people involved, and it's not looking till 7 a.m. Well, it wasn't until the afternoon on Wednesday to when we finally got some internet. And we didn't even realize it until I got back Wednesday late in the day after Ryan and I were helping a client, you know, wrap up and move. If you listen to Tech Vets, I talked about that move. Everything was good. But what do you do Tuesday night when I had nothing to do? I had no client work, but we wanted to be entertained. So how we dealt with it was very interesting. I took out my Surface Pro. I have AT&T, but my son, and that's limited. I have like 40 gig a month shared between me, my wife, and my oldest son. Because now my youngest son moved with my middle son to his T-Mobile account. I'm getting ready to move T-Mobile. I have to buy out my contract for my phone and my wife's phone. My son's is already paid for, Michael, for the business. What I'm going to do is buy them out, get them unlocked, and then I'm going to move to the over 55 plan. My oldest son is going to join his brothers, and that's going to drop their monthly rate from $60 a month to $47 a month. And it's unlimited data. It was, now they'll cap it a little bit. They say they slow down a little bit after 50 gig per phone. That's a lot of data. So I start out with a hotspot on my phone, but I don't want to kill all my data. But we just get started where I run an HDMI cable to the big TV here. I have my Surface Pro 3, and my son Ryan and I actually started binging season 2 of Travelers on Netflix Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night. And that was great. That worked well. But after a couple episodes in, I said, okay, time to share. You have to watch your data. Ryan gave me his phone, and he has the Samsung, and he has, you know, unlimited data with T-Mobile. It was great, and it looked gorgeous. So that's my backout plan. I'm checking email on my phone regularly, so that's not a problem. And then I have my iPad also married to the hotspot. You have to have a plan for when you have no internet. If you do what I do and work from your home office, my plan is always a hotspot. And that's why I want to go to T-Mobile, because I want that unlimited. And I don't mind being throttled after 50 gig, because that's a lot, 50 gig. Have a plan for what to do when you have no internet. And the easiest thing to do is take your smartphone, have a good data plan, and use that as a hotspot. And it was kind of nice, you know, using that for entertaining. So this move that I touched on, we packed up an office that was three laptops with docking stations, and each with dual monitors, and then a peer server. And we boxed and packed all of that. Got that in my, I have a Toyota Venza, so it's a crossover, so it's got a lot of space. And we were able to box everything up, get it into this temporary office while their final office is still being remodeled. We take and get everything set up. They have an HP printer. They have a big multifunction printer, but they can't bring that there. And they're just in the middle of the lease ended, and they started with a new vendor. So when they move to the new office, when it's all ready, that vendor will bring the new multifunction machine. That's going to be a big Sharp with different finishing options. But to get by, they need a nice little network printer, which they always had as an emergency printer. An HP, I think P2035N. It's got a dedicated IP address. The space that we're walking into, I didn't realize they do not do DHCP. They assign static IP addresses to anybody coming into the office, and they give you all the info. So they figured they had three systems, so there was a sheet with three static IP addresses. Well, we really needed five. So I contacted them. I said, we need one for the server, and then I need one for the printer. Here's the problem. When you have a low-end HP LaserJet that does not have a screen, how do you change the IP address? Now, I take it back to the factory defaults, but there's no DHCP available. So how do you set an IP address when there's no DHCP available? How do you talk to the printer to change the and set a static IP? This was my challenge. They had no printer USB cable, and we were wiped on Thursday when we were finishing getting everything set up, and everything worked perfectly except for printing. I said, I will bring back a USB cable tomorrow, and I will get you printing. And nobody was ready for printing Friday anyway. So I said, I'll come by Friday afternoon after we were done with that other client that we were packing up and moving their data. We come back and I bring that cable. I plug it into the computer right from the printer. The printer's sitting right beside the server. It installs perfectly and it's running via USB. Now, I gave this a lot of thought Thursday night. The only way to really do this right was to bring a little router, not have it connected to the internet, connect my laptop, connect the printer, let it pull an IP address, then from my laptop, connect into the printer, change it to the proper static IP address, and now I'd no longer on this little private network, I would not be able to talk to it anymore, but then plug it into the regular network for the building. Then that would work. That's a lot of effort. So you know what I did? I really took the easy way out here. Since it was printing so well via the USB cable, I just shared it out. And then I went to the three desktops and just pointed it to the IP address of the server with that share. Bang. We were in and out in 15 minutes getting everything printing. That was how I answered it. But I would love to know, is there a utility that you can use that would communicate via the host name or the MAC address of a printer that gives you the ability to set a static IP in the HP world? Now, I know of one in the Brother world. I've actually used it, but it would only recognize Brother printers. Does HP have such a utility? It's very rare that you would run into this instance of not having DHCP available to you. It's nice to know what you would do if you had it. There are my two stories. Let's get to some email. This is follow-ups to a lot of things over the past couple Mike Tech shows. This is from Lawrence. Hey, Mike, I hope your friend Ken and you are doing well. He is. By the way, Ken's doing great. And in the pre-show, I was talking about how Ken and I got together yesterday, which was Saturday, and binged Black Mirror Season 4, which I highly recommend. It was very entertaining. And we had a great time hanging out all day and not discussing or worrying about any IT issues or clients. I had a fun day yesterday with Ken, and he's doing really well. He can't drive yet, but he's doing well. After the CCleaner issue, he says, I started using BleachBit. To me, it seems like it does a better job of cleaning up files on a system. I have also used UVK, the paid version, for a few years now, and I love it. It has a registry cleaner and a bunch of other great tools. John from the Maven Group highly recommends it. I actually install UVK and password protect it on client PCs that I do remote work on. There are no limits on how many clients you install it on. Because of that, I have been playing with UVK, and I actually paid for the year. UVK is a very nice utility, and I will have a link to that in the show notes. Great suggestions by Lawrence. Thank you so much. This is in response to my iPhone library management and migration problem. I want to thank a few of you, including Tony from the chat, who's given me a contact with someone. I haven't reached out to Dave yet. This is from Keith, and I want to share this. On show 640, haven't finished listening yet, you were looking for an iPhoto library solution to separate and migrate a large library to new Apple Photos app. I don't use Macintosh as my primary workstation anymore, but what I did, I used a program called iPhoto Library Manager from Fat Cat Software, and I think it will work for your client. This is on the top of my list, literally for tomorrow to play with on New Year's Day. I only ever used it with iPhoto, but I would think the functionality has been maintained going into Photos. iPhoto Library Manager acts like a front end to iPhoto. It allowed you to create multiple iPhoto libraries, open different libraries, and move photos between libraries. I'm not sure if you are aware of the iPhoto feature of manually opening different libraries. You hold down the Option key and open iPhotos. I do know of that, but as you know, I want to break down this massive 2 terabyte library. He continues, you are presented with a choose library dialog box to open, or you can create a new library. iPhoto Library Manager handles all of that manual work in a nice graphical interface. You don't run iPhoto directly anymore. You use iPhoto Library Manager to show all the libraries you have. Then selecting the specific library will run iPhoto opening that library. Additionally, iPhoto Library Manager helps you move photos from one library and another. If I remember correctly, it allowed me to move photos or events, albums, or dates, and maybe faces. One thing I did with my collection was move work-related pictures to a work library. Fat Cat Software offers a bundle of their iPhoto Library Manager and Power Photos for photos. So your client can probably start breaking up the current large collection based on event, like Bob and Jill's wedding or Tina's graduation, or create libraries by month and move events based on date. Once the smaller iPhoto libraries are created, they can be moved individually to the new Mac and imported into Photos and verify it so you aren't doing an all or nothing migration. Then using the Power Photos software on the new computer, continue to manage them in smaller chunks. It might take a little bit of time to organize and break it up, but it will keep the metadata and it might be a nice way to move forward instead of having one gigantic photos library. You now have smaller and more manageable ones, which is one of the objectives here. And again, all the moving of photos can be done completely inside iPhoto Library Manager program, so it should be very user-friendly, which is another requirement. As for the other topic of large disk storage for 10 terabytes, I don't think Synology has a dedicated attached storage device to connect via Thunderbolt. I would think some NAS DAS would be ideal to provide some redundancy. I know Drobo has a unit and also QNAP. I guess it would depend on the connection type you want to use. Thunderbolt versus 1 or 10 gig Ethernet. 1 gig Ethernet might not be fast enough, but 10 gig might be if you are getting a new iMac Pro. The new iMac was not an iMac Pro, but it's something to think about here. I am not a Mac Photos management expert by any stretch of the imagination, so I would defer to more experienced professionals. Hope that helps. As always, thanks for the show. Keith, thank you so much for sharing your experience. I am going to test out that utility. I have a much smaller library, and I even have another older iMac that I'm going to pull up, get all the photos in, and I'm going to test. I can also use this and test with my client because we have great backups of the library with Time Machine. Thank you, and this can at least put me on a path of at least, even though this might not be the final place for the software, a way to maintain their directory hierarchy structure of storing photos. And by the way, all these photos are pictures of flowers. My client has books on flowers. They're gorgeous. Thank you. I'm going to test with this. This is from Jack, and this was the SMTP server. This is a great little idea. Sending mail with Outlook, I use SMTP to go. With the number 2, go. I will have this link in the show notes. I looked at the site. The prices aren't bad. Great place to kind of pay for an SMTP server. I like this. Thank you. This is Jeff. This is about printing to PDF. Listen to show 640 and heard you comment about print to PDF. If I heard correctly, you mentioned a comment from listener Kate who said this feature was introduced in Windows 10. I am a Windows 7 Enterprise user and use this feature often when in any Office product I need to print a PDF from any document. Just do File, Save As Type, Select PDF, and Save. PDF document created. Thanks. Now, I like that tip. And I just don't remember in Windows 7 that there was a print to PDF. But you can always install the free ones, which is PDF Creator. That's the one I always recommend to have installed on a system. One of the problems is when you go to print a website using the natural built-in print command, it's really bad. You get mixed results on the printer. And I like having it as a PDF. Now, I would always create the PDF using the Adobe Acrobat, but you can print a PDF and yield a PDF that now is of that website. And you can use the free ones, the built-in one in Windows 10, or this is saved to PDF. I'd have to try that. I don't think you can save the website as that. I'm not sure. This would work with other documents and different applications. With the website, you still might need that print to PDF option. This is from the same Keith. Hi, Mike. Me again. As I'm trying to finish listening to episode 640, you talked about Microsoft breaking Outlook 2007 with the Fall Creators Update release of Windows 10. And how could Microsoft not regression test it against Outlook 2007 to check that it did not break? Technically speaking, Outlook 2007 is no longer officially supported. Extended support ended in April 2017. So Microsoft is not officially obligated to make sure it works. That's a good point. Not happy with the point, but I do understand. He continues, it stinks, but if all we have to do is run a repair on the original installation to getting it working, great. That way, we don't have to uncomfortably upsell clients and try to explain to them why something that worked yesterday is now broken today for no apparent reason to them. I myself reverted back to Office 2007 from Office 2013 because I could not find certain options and features, which was driving me crazy. I will stay on 2007 as long as I can. By the way, let me comment here. I am on Office 2010. For me, that's the best version of Office created. I love Outlook 2010. I am not a fan of 2013. I am not a fan of 2016. Do I have it on a couple systems? Yes. Do I support it with clients? Yes, because a lot of them have Office 365. But 2010 to me was rock solid, and I love it. He continues, however, I have had some clients report issues with Outlook 27 with attachments that broke in an update in July. The only fix I have successfully figured out is to update them to the newer version of Outlook. So I jumped to Office 2016. And that has its own set of headaches. Oh, absolutely. Clients are asking, wow, this is different. How do I do this? How do I do that? Just my two cents for the moment. Keith, thank you so much. This email is from Mark. If you removed the secondary bit, this is a follow-up to my Bitdefender problem. If you removed the secondary Bitdefender agent program that comes with the new bright red version and you still have remnants of Bitdefender on your computer, my suggestion is similar to the other listener, to reinstall, then uninstall. By the way, I think it's the slightly older version. I installed the newer version, uninstalled, and I'm still stuck with a service problem. And I did it in safe mode, and it did not work. I have this Bitdefender install from hell that will not go away. On another subject, he continues, I've also had clients who had their Outlook.com email hacked. Your client likely entered their email login credentials on a fake Dropbox or similar phishing webpage. You might also want to make sure that their contacts did not get deleted. If so, Outlook.com has a recovery option for that. A few of my clients also had their language changed to Arabic. That made it fun to fix things. This is Mark. Wow. I remember my wife accidentally changing the Epson print options on the printer to Japanese. And I remember Googling that and finding the Japanese language options to change it back to English. I'll never forget that. This is from Jason. Have you tried to reinstall and uninstall Bitdefender to get full uninstall? I have done this several times in the past with other software. I have, and it has not worked. I will continue to let you know what my problems are with that. This email is from Ron, and he says, you have to read number 6. This is stories from clients from hell. And I'm going to read this dialogue of number 6. I'm going to put this clients from hell link in the show notes. At 3 a.m., after finishing a website template for a client who had to have it by 6 a.m. their time, I sent an email letting her know that it was finished. The next day, I get a call. The client, I don't appreciate you staying out all night when you should be working on my project. And the IT person, I'm sorry, I was working all last night. As you can see, I sent you an email. The client, I see that at 3 a.m. Do you think it's okay to party all night and then work without sleep at 3 a.m.? It's very unprofessional and morally reprehensible. The IT guy, what makes you think I was out partying all night? And the client, why else would you be up at 3 a.m.? And he replies, you gave me 24 hours to do 18 hours of work. I had to stay up. And the client, don't try to use math on me. That is great. I want to wish everybody a very, very happy new year. This is one of those times we look at our past from 2017. We look ahead to 2018. Some people want to have New Year's resolutions. I know one of my resolutions is for my business. So I wanted to just comment on a couple things, three technology items from this past year. One is Apple. I have lost all faith in Apple. Personally, I don't believe the iPhone 8 is worthy of buying or the 10. And I know I came out with the 8. It's a little faster. It's a little, you can charge it wirelessly. These are good things moving forward. Apple has been too slow in putting out and coming up with features that the people want. Now, they're always going to have a base that no matter what they do, there's going to be Stepford Apple users out there that will absolutely buy whatever Apple puts in front of them. And nothing can change that. And that's okay. If they're happy and they like it, that's fine. But for me, they got to do more. And that Apple 10 to me was a disgrace. I don't even like what they've done with the 8. I'm still with my iPhone 7. Look at what they finally just came out with about the battery problem in the software. And they're going to make people pay $29 for a new battery for something they created? That's morally wrong. So I am extremely disappointed in Apple this past year showing their colors of who they really are. And I don't believe that Steve Jobs would be happy with the direction that Apple's going and what they've been doing and how they've been just spoon feeding little teeny feature upgrades at a time for each phone release. When you got Samsung just going and other phone manufacturers going way beyond what Apple's doing. I've lost all my faith in Apple. That's one. Let's talk about Microsoft. They don't get a pass here. Microsoft with Windows 10 and their updates and what they're doing, the lack of me being able to halt updates or only pause them for like 30 days. I'm sorry, that's not right. And they've been breaking software. What they did a few months ago, breaking Outlook 2016, that was horrible what I was working with. And then breaking 2010. Okay, I understand the 2007 because they don't support it anymore. But what they are doing and handling the updates with Windows 10 is terrible. However bad it was with Windows 7 updates, Windows 10 updates, to me, has taken it 100 levels higher and worse. Now, from an IT perspective for making money, yeah, it's great. I'm going to have more billable hours. But that's not the way I want my hours. And it makes my clients angry. And I know they know it's not my fault. But I still get that look like, you know, you made me go Windows 10 or you helped me, you advised me to go Windows 10. It's very hard. Now, with that, on Tuesday morning, my son, Michael Jr., is going to be at a very small law firm where the CPA that came in to do the books on a computer we supplied last year, it's Windows 10. We don't know what the problem was, but what we do know or suspect is that the CPA was brought down to a recovery option on the screen and possibly chose to wipe the system. Shame on them, and they're going to learn. They should have raised a hand and called us sooner rather than try to solve the problem. This is not a retainer client, and it's a client that, again, this was brought on, at least by the initial ticket and my discussion with them, by the Windows 10 update. It caused a problem on the reboot, and I guess they kind of got led to that screen for repair where If you don't know what you're doing, you can easily select the wrong option. And I think they wiped everything because there's nothing there. Don't know what we're going into. I'm going to get feedback on Tuesday. That'll be, I'm sure, a follow-up to next week's show. And I will let you know what's happening with that. And the third, data breaches. The breaches from Yahoo, it's unforgivable. The data breaches from Equifax is just so terrible. Equifax should not be in business. They should not be allowed to continue. But they are. And so now it's put us all on alert. With what we do for IT support, we now have to have a heightened sense of security for our clients. It definitely gives us more options to make money by implementing better security strategies for our clients, not only for their business, but their personal use. I know I've taken advantage of it by giving lectures and talks on how to properly approach cybersecurity from a personal standpoint. And I give some business, you know, I give some great business options. And that can sometimes lead to some more work. We have to take these missteps and mishaps from the supposed industry leaders in technology here and take it and then figure out how to fix it and wrap it up and sell it all repaired, or learn how to fix it quickly for our clients and then use that as an opportunity. That's the way I'm looking at it, but I still don't think it's right. Technology, I guess if I thought long and hard enough, there might have been some great movements and things happening this past year, but I'm dwelling on the negative, which was the Apple missteps. And by the way, the Apple releases have been terrible. Look how many updates they have to send to the iPhone. I'm getting an iPhone update every week, every couple of weeks now, because they fix five things and break four. So it's ridiculous. It's a lost art. In the past, companies used to spend more time testing, and now they feel compelled to let us test it. They do some testing, but I don't think they do enough. Companies need to have better change control before they release their patches, their updates. I believe they're cheapening out and not going through proper change management procedures in promoting the final code that we will have to digest on our devices or our operating systems. And that's what I perceive as the problem. Security absolutely is a major problem where companies are not being held to make the improvements and implement the proper security measures. I believe that's from the top down, not hiring qualified people in senior management and security management positions within the company. The people that they are hiring are not qualified. They're a friend of someone. If you start to dig deep and look at the security problems for some of these big companies and you pull back the curtain, I believe you are going to find unqualified people making security decisions for enterprises that should have no right to make decisions that they're making. And they're not implementing the controls. They're cheapening out and taking the quick fix and the quick road and not being secure. And that's wrong. That's something that I see continuing for the next, yeah, it's going to continue forever. That corporate culture of trying to save money. So we're not going to check our password policies for all the important things. Well, that's when we find that you have admin to break into web servers or break into something because there's no due diligence on following up and testing and doing the proper penetration tests. There's no penalty for them if they are insecure. And that's a big, big problem because they can just pass the costs along to the consumer. There's no penalty. If there was something that could come down on top of Equifax and put him out of business, wow, let's send a message to the rest of the corporate world that this is what happens when you're that stupid and you create that kind of a security mess. So there's no punishment here. this is going to continue and it's going to get worse. And that's my prediction for the future. We have to educate everybody and do the best we can, but I only have a small influence. I have my listeners for here, listeners for Tech Vets, my clients, clients who they talk to. Maybe if I'm giving lectures or talks, I can help, but this is not going to solve the problem. This is just a little speck, but we can help spread the word and we can take security serious and help implement it with our clients and our customers. So I'm getting off my soapbox, but that's my big problem with came to a head in 2017 from technology, from my standpoint. I just wanted to share that. As I look back on myself, and I did this with Tech Vets with Carrie a little bit, and I'm just going to continue. I thought that I had a, because my last 2 months have been tough from my business standpoint, I kind of let that cloud my judgment for the whole year. But as I look back this year, and if anybody who follows me on Facebook knows, I've done a lot of traveling and I've done a lot. And my business has put me in a position to allow me to do that. And having the support of my oldest son and Ken help take care of the clients day to day and the problems, that's afforded me the opportunity to travel. But I'm going to be doing a lot less travel because I've had a couple setbacks in my business in terms of clients moving and some things that were supposed to happen that didn't happen. And I'm now in a battle of accounts receivable that we don't even want to get into and talk about, with problems for clients paying. That's a big problem. And it kind of leads into my final talk here for the show. I have not done this in 12 years. I have not asked any of you about this for 12 years. But as you can see with sponsors, I haven't, you know, I have Instant House Call. But let's face it, that doesn't pay the bills. Does not pay the bills. I'll tell you what paid bills and helped keep this show on the air. And that was my Amazon link. And that's been taken away from me because I used a subdomain to just help for users to be able to go on, and you guys used it and it was tremendous. Losing Amazon as an affiliate for the Mike Tech Show was an extreme major loss of revenue. You have no idea of how bad that is. And for me to even take this time to mention this, there is a donation button, which I'm going to prominently move bigger into the show notes, to help keep the Mike Tech Show going. Because this was a major loss for September, October, and November, and December. Because that's when it stopped in September. Just so you know. And that helped. And that really helped. I could use your help for the new year for 2018 and continuing. I'm going to look for other sponsors so I can try that they can help take up the mantle and help. I apologize for having to do this. Let's keep the Mike Tech Show running. Let's keep the lights on. Let's keep things happening. And that's using the donation button. And I will, every dollar helps. And I really appreciate it. And for those of you who have already been continuing, please, do not forget that. There are still a couple people that have been using that as a regular monthly donation. And trust me, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate that. With that, sorry to be so depressing and so down. I want to try to be upbeat for the new year. Everybody have a happy new year. Let's look for a greater, bigger, better 2018 for everybody. I wish that for all of you and your families, your loved ones, your friends. Let's hope for a great 2018. Thank you for supporting the show and for being here and downloading and staying subscribed. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.